Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and if you're watching, you can see that I have a special guest on today that I will get to in just a second. But if you're listening in or watching in for the first time, we are Hannah's Heart with American Family Radio. We are a radio show / podcast that really began as covering a lot of stories of people struggling with infertility and miscarriage. But we have just grown over the last two and a half years of definitely covering other stories of just how the Lord sees fit of growing a family and just all the different dynamics that that can look like. So whether we're talking about foster care or adoption or even child loss or, whatever the Lord has fit for a certain family, we want to be here to walk with you along that road. And so if you have any prayer requests, we love to hear from you at hannahsheart@afa.net. That's hannahsheart@afa.net. So today I have a sweet, we've been friends for what, long, long time?
17 years.
Yeah, 17 years. Oh my gosh.
That's ninth grade.
Yeah, that's a long time. We went to school together, played softball together. Yeah, now I've walked through a whole lot of other things together. But my friend here, Olivia Bennett, she's here to talk a lot today about foster care and how your family has been way in deep in foster care now for a while. Y'all have kind of been...
7 years.
Yeah, yeah. Of walking the deep, deep journey of foster care that y'all have been on a lot of highs and then definitely some lows in that. Yeah. Okay, so just introduce us to you and who you are and what your family looks like right now.
Okay, my name is Olivia Bennett. I am originally from Saltillo. My husband and I have been in Tupelo since we got married almost 10 years ago. We have an 8-year-old biological child, Georgia. We have a 6-year-old adopted child who is Bailey. And then we have currently have two foster children, one who is 18 months old and one who is 6 months old.
So you're not busy at all.
So we have a full house. Yeah.
Along with y'all owning your own business.
We do own a plant nursery, and I am in graduate school.
And you're in graduate school. Yes. I was telling her before the show, I was like, I don't know how you do what you do. No, you've always had a lot on your plate. Even in high school. Mm-hmm. I feel like you function better that way. Yeah. Like have something that you're not
and
working on.
And if something falls off, I just find something else to replace it. Just fine.
But that is, you're so gifted in that way of staying organized and just on track of things. And I think I've told you this before, but I literally saw how the Lord used those assets that He blessed you with, of your personality and just who you are, to literally come to bat for these kids through foster care. Because, if you weren't willing to do what you needed to do, and I mean, strict, y'all are going to take care of these kids and you're going to do it today, That attitude, a lot of people don't have that. I didn't. Whenever we walked into foster care, you have to, though. Yes. You literally have to come to bat because nobody else is going to. And so watching you grow in your relationship with the Lord in that way and just seeing how God used that aspect of your personality that I felt like I didn't have any of, it really just inspired me before we got involved in foster care. And so, and you have since done that along the way. I was even planning you, booking you a trip to go across country to get a little baby.
Yes, I did. Yep.
Okay, so start off, if you want to tell us about Georgia's little story first, if I had, like, talking about how y'all might have gotten into foster care, and then we'll just go from there.
Okay, so we got pregnant with Georgia in 2015. We were told early on that I likely would not be able to have biological children, and we definitely did. We had a very tumultuous pregnancy with her that was just really scary and unpredictable. We didn't know how it would end, but she was born and she was healthy, and we were pretty promptly told that we didn't need to do that again.
Okay.
So we knew that future biological children were not in the cards for us, and we were at a peace with that for a long time. And the Lord just started working in mine and Chris's heart. Like, we just knew that we weren't done. Like, we knew that we had more love, and we just didn't really know which avenue that we right. were going to go down. So we initially started looking into international adoption. We got to the home study portion. It was like we just kept running into obstacles, and we didn't really feel just like a total peace with it. And so we decided to step back and pray for a little while longer on maybe which direction we were supposed yeah. to go in, not the direction that we wanted to go in. So yeah. That led us to foster care, and we went into it totally blind. I don't think I knew anyone at the moment that mm-hmm. was a foster parent, but we signed up for the classes, and we got certified, and we waited. And we were certified for about 6 months before we got our first call. And during those 6 months, of course, we were like, wait, we thought there was a need. Right. Like, what? Like, maybe this isn't what we're supposed to be doing. But we took a trip to Rosemary Beach in May of 2017. And while we were at the beach, we get a call yeah. about Bailey. And, of course, we say yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we get home to this precious, chunky 5-month-old girl. And we just haven't looked back since.
No. So she – and we're saying that okay, I haven't looked back since, but, like, there's lots and lots and lots that y'all had to go through as a family, as that Bailey had to go through
yeah.
before we got to –
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Adoption, because she, how long was she in y'all's home before adoption went through?
So Bailey was in our home from May of 2017 until October of 2019 when we adopted her.
Wow. That's a long time.
And she had been in foster care prior to that, since birth. And she was in a home that just wasn't an appropriate fit.
Yeah.
And so she came to us.
And she quickly became a Bennett.
Yes.
Bailey Bennett.
Yes. Yeah.
And she is a precious. And she was a little chunk.
She was a little chunk. I remember calling you, and I was like, can you babysit? Like, I have this new baby, but yeah. I've got to work.
And I said yes. And I loved every second of it. She's so sweet. Still so sweet today. Okay. So we have Bailey and, 2 years basically passed mm-hmm. by of court visits and visits with biological family and all of that. And the details we won't go into, but like every single, it doesn't matter like what the situation looks like with foster care, it's a hard situation.
Yes. And Bailey's case was a hard case. And it was, of course, our first yeah. rodeo in this. And, it was a huge learning curve, obviously, but we figured out early on that avocation was our responsibility.
Yeah.
And she had lacked that for the first few months of her life. And Chris and I committed to advocating for her and getting her not just permanency, but the help that she needed,
right.
The resources that she needed, because as you know, the foster care system is a scary place, and we went through multiple social workers and mm-hmm. multiple home licensure workers, and so there was never any continuity. It was right. like something would get started and then That was all it would ever do.
It would change.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So we learned very quickly that people needed to be held responsible because there were little lives at stake.
Right. Right. So. And if we're in this for the kids.
Yes.
Then, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then Bailey is adopted.
Yes.
And y'all, am I right by saying y'all took like a, what do you call it? A hold on foster
care? We put our home on hold after that. There were some traumas that we knew that she needed undivided attention, yeah. and we wanted to spend that time just feeding into her.
Well, she never knew a life without yes. court visits and visits with parents and yes. all the things. And so to yeah. give her a little bit of like, okay, this is what normal.
Yes, we wanted to just adjust to life as a family of four.
Yeah.
So we put our home on hold. And honestly, after about a year, we thought we might be done. And the Lord does his thing, and he started stirring in our hearts again in 2022.
Okay.
And I remember going to Chris and saying, I think we need to do this again. I've been praying about it. And he looked at me and said, well, let's pray a little bit more about that.
Let's keep like, praying about this.
I'm not sure. And so we eventually both agreed that we felt that that's what we were being led to again. And so in November of 2022, we opened up our home again.
Okay. So now, did y'all have to walk through the reopening process or like?
Everything.
Everything.
Everything gotcha. All over again.
Gotcha. Yep. And when you walk through that process, you know, just how yes. much that is to actually get
yes.
done. And you literally, our resource worker, that's the worker that focuses
yes.
on the foster family. She was like, oh, I get to know foster families more than their family,
yeah.
their own family
yeah.
ever will, you know, because she gets in, they ask questions about your marriage and
yeah.
past relationships and all different kinds
yep.
of things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's really a lot. As of, you know, deciding that we're going to step back into that.
Yes.
Especially now as you have two mm-hmm. littles that, you know,
yes.
you're responsible for. Okay, so y'all are now stepping back into foster care mm-hmm. in
2022 is when we reopened our home.
Okay.
We got our first call that go around in January of 23.
Okay, so not quite as, y'all didn't have to wait.
No, we didn't wait very long. But that was by far the most difficult situation that Chris and I have stepped into. It was a tragic mm. case.
Mm.
And it's one of those things that you hear about and you see on the news. And when it's in your living room,
yeah,
it's just very different.
Yeah.
And there are conversations that we had with these children and the things that we heard that they had endured that I will not ever forget.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed with us a few months, but due to some circumstances, they eventually moved to a different placement. They needed to be in different homes.
Right.
It was a sibling set, and they needed to heal separately.
If you're okay with talking about this, because a lot of times we talk about just the stories that work out
mm-hmm.
with foster care. And so y'all, from what I remember, y'all also had to make this decision of these kiddos moving homes because, for one, you didn't feel like you could give them the therapeutic need that they
yeah.
had. And then also you have two girls in your home. And these kiddos had gone through a lot of stuff.
These children had seen and been a part of some really horrific things that children, and they were young.
These, mm-hmm.
I mean, they were in elementary school, and they had seen and been a part of just things that I had not even heard of,
yeah.
like, happening as an adult.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to say that. Like, just cruel and inhumane things that had been done to a family member that they were raised in thinking that that was okay.
Right.
And I had two little girls in my home who are very not naive as they should be. They're children, but they were being exposed to things that we couldn't protect them from.
Yeah.
And we were on high alert 24/7.
Right.
We had to keep eyes on them at all times.
Yeah.
And it was evident that they needed to not be in a home with little girls and that they needed separation.
Yeah. So and this is when you had to come to bat for your family first.
I did. And it's wild. It was not received well.
Right.
By
the foster care
system. Yeah. And we were, I don't want to say punished for it, but that's what it felt like. We took them to school one day, and while they were at school, we got a call that was like, pack up their stuff because they're not coming back to your house. And these children who have already been through such trauma,
right,
are now feeling as though we have also alienated them.
Yeah.
And that broke me. It broke my children. It broke my husband. It was horrible.
Yeah. Because you didn't have that chance to explain to these kiddos, like, this is what's better for you. This is what we're going to do, you know.
And they were of the age where they would have understood that.
Right.
They may not have necessarily liked it, but they would have listened and heard. And we didn't get that opportunity. But the silver lining there is we still see them.
Okay.
They are the same age as my niece and go to the same school. So when we go to school programs and things like that, I can always expect to nearly be tackled down with hugs and kisses. And
so they're doing good.
Yeah.
That's such a blessing. As sad as it can be when children leave your home, which you said you were sad because of the circumstance,
almost feel like you failed.
Right.
That's where I was. I had to figure out, was I being selfish? Was I taking the easy way out?
Would Jesus do this?
Yes. Or was I doing what was best? And like I said, that short time with them, it broke us for a while. And I didn't know,
Well, you're almost scared of the system then because you have personally been hurt.
I mean, we were angry about how it was handled.
Yeah.
Not so much for our sake, but these are children.
Right.
So it took us a minute. We thought we were like, okay, maybe we have done the wrong thing. Then we get a call early March.
Yeah.
We get a call and he may be two, but he might be four. He could be three is how the call went. And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
We were eating Mexican for my mother-in-law's birthday.
Okay.
And we get this call and I'm like, okay, Chris, I don't know if we're getting a teenager or a toddler, but they're going to come to our house. So, of course, I activate what I call my emergency response. I call my two best friends, and I'm like, all right, this is what's happening. Am I nuts? And they're always like, nope, you're not nuts. No. What do you need?
Yeah.
And so they always jump into action and head to Walmart and get the pull-ups or the diapers or the bottles. So he got to us that night around 11 p.m., and unless you've been in it, it's so hard to describe that first night because you get this baby who is so confused.
Right, right.
He's crying for his mother. He's filthy.
Yeah.
You have to bathe this child who doesn't know you.
Right.
It's just those first nights are just...
There's just nothing like them. And something that, the Lord didn't design foster care. Foster care shouldn't have to exist.
Yeah.
But it does because we're in a broken, fallen world. But these kids are having to suffer because of this brokenness. Mm-hmm. And then, as when you take on foster care as a parent, it's like you're living on those streets with these kids, because I feel like sometimes it's easy to think like, oh, it's in the bad part of town, it's in the bad cities,
No, it's under our noses.
It's literally the houses we pass by every single day.
It is.
The kids that we pass by when we go see our children's programs at school, these kids exist everywhere. And so, yes, what a humbling experience it is. The two kiddos we've had in and out of our home mm-hmm. multiple times, I can picture exactly that first night that they came and I had to give them both a bath and how dirty they were. And just, yeah.
You're a stranger to them.
Right.
And they're, it's just such a traumatic experience for them. Like day one. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not, you hear about foster care traumas that children have to heal from. But I think you think about the bad, like the really bad things.
Right.
When really it starts that first night. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter what type of home you go.
No.
They can go to the best home, but it's still traumatic for them.
Right, right. So. Okay, so we have little boy, uh-huh. right?
He was four.
He was four.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And he was with y'all for how long?
We got him in March, and he left us in December of this past year, so okay. December 2023.
Okay. And that was a wonderful situation, right, at the end?
It was wonderful throughout.
Okay.
We just, I had never had to abdicate like I did for that baby.
Okay.
He was one of those that, you know, probably didn't necessarily need to be in Lee County.
Okay.
And should not have spent the amount of time in the foster care system as he did.
Wow.
There were family members who wanted him and could provide a great life for him. It was just in Kentucky.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've ever been a part of the ICPC.
No.
It is wild and crazy. But Judge Bevel was incredible in this case. And we just all went to bat for this child, and he got to go home to his aunt and his brothers in December, and it was so sad, but I still talk to them and FaceTime with him, and he's happy.
Well, I remember you telling me that. You're like, he needs to go home.
Yeah.
Like, this is a case where this sweet boy needs to go home.
Yep.
And what a blessing. Okay, so we have two more babies we need to cover in the next few minutes, so tell us about them.
So our next call, we got the call for the four-year-old in on March the 9th. We got the next call for a five-month-old the end of March. So we went from two to four to two, back to four. And so we got him, and another horrible, tragic situation. We have now had him since then. We still have him. And in October of this past year, his sister was born. And she was born in Utah.
Okay.
And I had the privilege to fly out there to pick her up in January of this year after her NICU stay.
She had just been in NICU that whole time.
Yes. So from October until January the 5th, she was in NICU. We got discharged and got back home to Tupelo on January the 6th.
And this is what I mean by you with your little personality being like, no, I'm going to go pick her up.
Well, it literally got to the point where I was like, what's the holdup? Like,
yeah.
And it was the social worker would say, we can't get funding for our flights. And I'm like, hi.
I'm going to go.
I will fund my flight. Let me go get this child. So when we finally got there to get her, the doctors were like, are y'all here to take this toddler home? Because it was like she had been there so long and they weren't like a high acuity NICU.
Gotcha.
They had spoiled her. I mean,
she was loved by all those doctors and nurses. Yes. Oh my gosh, and she's beautiful.
Yes. So we're winding down on their case. TPR is scheduled here in the next couple of weeks, and we plan to hopefully adopt them in the next few months. And we are going to serve foster care in a different way. There are so many needs.
Yes. So let's talk about those real quick.
Okay.
We have a few minutes left. What are those needs? What are ways that, because we've talked about plenty of ways as a foster mama,
mm-hmm.
how you can advocate for these kiddos.
Yeah.
So as someone who's like, okay, I've been there, done that, or
it's
I don't
not
feel,
for me.
Yeah, I cannot do this.
It's not for everybody.
Right.
But there's so many ways.
Yeah.
So one big thing that our church does, which I think is just such a wonderful thing, is they have care groups.
Right.
So a group of people in the church basically adopt your little family.
Yeah.
And they provide meals. They help with just the day-to-day stuff. Like, if you are swamped and you're like, I need somebody to go grab my kid from school, then they're like, oh, let me help. Yard work, just
babysitting.
Prayer. I mean, yeah. They're constantly in prayer for us and court dates. And I can't say enough good things about that. But if you're not a part of a church that offers something like that, just find a foster parent to support, just to love on.
When you mentioned your friends, and you have done this for me, literally hear that the kids are coming there, like, I'm heading to Walmart.
Yes.
What all, pajamas, teddy bears, you know, anything you can think of, because these kids a lot of times come with nothing except the clothes on their back.
Yes.
And then some of those have holes and they're dirty and, you know, all of that. Okay, we literally have 30 seconds left, but
my only other recommendation, a huge need that I was shown this past Christmas, was Stacy Bevel, our judge, our youth court judge. She always has a need, and she reached out needing Christmas for kids who came into the system after the cutoff.
The Christmas present cutoff.
Yes, and so the biggest blessing I got this past year was getting to shop for those kids.